The Ozarks at Large podcast is made possible by KUAF's contributing listeners. Support from individual listeners in our community helps pay for the cost of producing and distributing this podcast. If you'd like to support this podcast and other digital media produced by KUAF, you can make a contribution at supportkuaf.com.
From the Carver Center for Public Radio, this is 91.3 KUAF, your home for NPR News since 1985, and your source for programs like Fresh Air, Ask Me Another, and This American Life. You can find a schedule for all of our stations at KUAF.com. The 2017 news cycle has no summer vacation setting, and so we turn to our friend Michael Tilley with Talk Business and Politics to help us catalog what's happened recently. He joins us from his office in Fort Smith. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well, and boy, you pegged it. It's typically there is somewhat of a lull in the summer, but not this year.
Nope. I mean, usually by, 10 or 15 years ago, we'd be brushing off all of the back-to-school stories a week and a half ahead of time, but we got plenty to talk about today.
Yep.
Let's begin with Tyson Foods. They were in the news all over the place this week, but the big news, some restructuring happening. First, let me ask, didn't we have this kind of conversation a few years ago?
Well, a few years ago, we had it a few months ago.
Okay.
Back in February, Tom Hayes, he succeeded Donnie Smith, CEO. And remember, he is a Hillshire Brands guy. He came in with the Hillshire acquisition, and he's just the second non-Tyson veteran, so to speak, who ran the company. Who has run the company. Dick Bond with IBP was the first when Tyson bought IBP, the beef company. But what Mr. Hayes has, or this restructuring now, which in the press release, it clearly said, myself and the board, it really seemed to be a kind of a mutual decision, but has really returned the company back to the structure that it's had for decades. And that is to have a person in charge of over poultry and a person in charge of the beef and pork business. So Sally Grimes, she's going to be group president of prepared foods, Doug Ramsey, president of poultry, and Noel White, who was the COO, will be, and he's the Tyson veteran. He's the guy there that has the most experience in Tyson Foods. He will now be group president of the beef, pork, and the international businesses. So, Kyle, they did have the business kind of divided up into, two food service. Andy Callahan was in charge of food service, and Sally Grimes was just North American retail. Those were the two divisions, and they didn't have anyone in charge of their, primary businesses, which is selling chicken, selling beef, selling pork, and their prepared food side, which, as I said, was historically the way it was set up. And to her credit, she probably won't appreciate me saying this, but Kim Souza, our reporter who's covered Tyson Foods for many years, when this was first announced back in February, I'll never forget, she said, "It won't last." And I thought, well, Kim, you're being a little harsh. Give the guy a chance. Well, she was right. So they're back to the way it used to be. And this comes just ahead of their earnings report, which will come out on August 7th, just right around the corner. So it'll be interesting to see how they report, what else they say in their earnings statement. The consensus is their earnings and revenue will be, or at least their earnings will be down between 2-3% compared to the same period last year.
Well, from an outside perspective, this, the way you explain it, kind of makes sense.
Well, yes, it did. Now, this is obviously, in defense, so to speak, of Mr. Hayes, this is a different company. So it's after the Hillshire Brands acquisition, they really brought on a lot of branded products, prepared foods. Now they're in the midst of buying Advanced Pierre, which is even more branded products. It's really moved away from a commodity business and more towards a consumer packaged goods type business, although the commodity business remains, you know, a bulk of their revenue and income. And until, you know, it kind of matures more as a consumer packaged goods good company, I think this is the structure that they'll stick with.
Well, at risk of having a firm grip on the completely obvious, this just reminds us how big a company Tyson Foods is.
Yeah, look, it's a global. I mean, it is huge. I think we do. I mean, it's a $40 billion in around $40 billion in revenue a year. That's pretty darn huge. Now, yes. I think the only reason we don't, maybe sometimes we don't appreciate that fact, is you've got a little company. You've got, listen to my grammar. You have a little company up the hill that I don't know, has around $500 billion. In revenue. So I think sometimes that takes that appreciation away from what Tyson does.
Well, you know, we always hear these statistics about how many people are moving into Arkansas, especially Northwest Arkansas. I think someone at a Bentonville Planning Commission used the figure of 5 people in Bentonville a day on average. But a lot of people are leaving Northwest Arkansas, if only temporarily, through XNA. We got the numbers from the airport employments, which means people leaving the airport, and for June, the most ever.
Yep, another record. And June is obviously the month that sets the records historically at XNA. But 68,274 employments, that beat the 65,253 back in June, 2016, June of last year. And look, it's not a surprise that XNA is different in some respect to other airports around the country, in that it has a larger percentage of business travelers. And I think one of the things, Kyle, this reflects is that businesses is probably, just to make an educated guess, a lot of Walmart vendors have opened up their travel budgets again, and are, you know, that's the way they're traveling. I suspect that's what's benefiting. But look, the Hillary Clinton Airport in Little Rock was up 2.4% in June, and the Fort Smith Regional Airport was up over 5% in June. So June was a heavy travel month. But the other thing that is happening at XNA is that they're not adding more flights, just that the planes that they're using, instead of the 50 to 60 seat regional jets, the airline's now moving to the 70 and 75 seat regional jets. That's benefiting XNA quite a bit.
Well, I want to ask you, okay, so we had a record number of people flying out of XNA in that month, and I learned through another Talk Business and Politics story this week that June is traditionally one of the slower months for hotels in Arkansas. So that would suggest the people leaving are business people from here, and perhaps people going on vacations, and not people who have flown in a couple days before and stayed at a hotel.
Yeah, and that hotel number also is a function of how many more hotel rooms you have in Northwest Arkansas.
Right, because it's occupancy, right?
Right. So you still have a lot of a lot of folks, but that's a good correlation. I would probably need a little bit more research to see how definitive it is, but that does reflect that it could be more tourist travel out of XNA. And one other point on this, XNA traffic is up over 5% for the first 6 months of the year. So they set a record in terms of employments last year, and they're well on track to set another record in 2017.
All right. Michael Tilley is with Talk Business and Politics, where you can find all those numbers and many more. Michael, thank you very much.
You're welcome, sir.
Someone gave Byron Janis a death mask of Frédéric Chopin, and the great concert pianist says,
a fluid started coming out of one of the eyes. I guess there was no question in my mind these were tears.
A life in music and feeling close to a great late composer. And all the latest news, Saturday and weekend edition from NPR News.
Weekend edition Saturday, tomorrow morning from 7 to 9 on 91.3.
Ozarks at Large is underwritten in part by the Walton Family Charitable Support Foundation. The Alma Performing Arts Center presents the U.S. Navy Band Cruisers Friday, August 18th, beginning at 7 p.m. This contemporary entertainment ensemble performs music genres ranging from jazz standards, rhythm and blues, classic rock, pop, and more. This event is free, but tickets are required. AlmaPAC.org or 632-2129 for more.
Arkansas education officials are submitting a plan by the end of next month that will lay out a long-term vision for bringing up student performance in the state. It's part of the Every Student Succeeds Act, or ESSA, a replacement for No Child Left Behind. Arkansas Public Media's Sarah Weitz-Kotacek sat down with Education Commissioner Johnny Key to find out what's changing under the new plan.
What are the kind of the big ways in which ESSA is different that are important for Arkansas, and how do you get buy-in from all those stakeholders for a plan when they might have reservations about aspects of No Child Left Behind that didn't seem to change very much?
Yeah, well, I think that's a great question, and that's a question we've been asking ourselves. What's different about ESSA is that it really puts the responsibility, returns the responsibility for driving improvement to the local level. Under No Child Left Behind, the department, again, would identify a school as a priority school or a focus school or some level of needing improvement. And then based on that label, the department would go directly into that school and say, here's some things you need to do. ESSA gives us kind of a revamp of that so that that decision-making isn't from the department to the school, but it should be driven from the school to the district. And then the district determines what support they need from us. So the districts will come and they may say, look, would you please review our district improvement plan? And depending on what level of support they need, then we determine what team needs to go in and help them, whether it be curriculum, whether it be human resources, a wide range of areas that we could provide that support.
Under ESSA, growth is weighed about as much as achievement measures in standardized tests, right? So can you explain a bit about what that might change in Arkansas?
One of the things that we got a lot of feedback on from educators is that emphasis under No Child Left Behind on achievement, and especially with some of our districts where, you know, the kids started at such a deficit that they didn't feel like we were giving them enough credit, that they were getting credit for the growth that those kids did get. Schools should be given that credit. They should be recognized for moving kids. Now, obviously, we want kids to be on grade level. So it's not just enough for them to say, well, we've grown, we've grown one grade level. Well, that's great. But if they were three grade levels behind when they started, then they're still not going to get, by the time they get to high school, there's still going to be a deficit. So we don't want to just totally throw out achievement, but we can balance it. And that's what this what ESSA gives us the opportunity to do.
So how does ESSA focus on disadvantaged students, minority students, or students with disabilities, English language learners? How does it focus on those particular groups?
Well, it's, if you look under No Child Left Behind, there were opportunities there where folks they focused on the bubble kids. That's a term that was those kids that are just barely below where they need to be, and let's just put all kinds of intense focus on moving them up so our numbers look better. Well, the way we're approaching it is we want you to move all kids. So you can't just focus on, the upper income kids and move those kids that are not performing. And if you do that, you're going to be fine. We're really saying, look, you've got to get down and move those English learners. You've got to get those kids moving. You've got to get the minority kids moving. You've got to get the poor kids from low income families. You've got to get all them moving. We've got to get special ed kids moving. All of those student groups, if you read the ESSA plan there, you can see where they fit in that.
Okay, well, thank you.
All right, thank you.
Arkansas Public Media is funded by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and public radio stations in Arkansas. You can find out more at the Arkansas Public Media Facebook page. Ahead on this Friday, Ozarks, songs from and about the Ozarks. As we approach this year's edition of the Fayetteville Roots Festival, we hear part of a free show from last year's fest when Still on the Hill and Roy and Aviva entertained an audience at the Fayetteville Public Library.
We're going to do another one, and then Roy and Aviva are going to do it, and then we're going to do one together to finish up.
Broadcast for the first time, a performance from the 2016 Fayetteville Roots Festival, ahead on today's Ozarks at Large.
On this week's On the Media, a woman's right to an abortion is enshrined in law. So why are we still discussing it?
These issues have been shaped by people with nakedly self-serving partisan interests. The political intensity of it, that's an artifice.
The overheated rhetoric of the abortion debate on the next On the Media from WNYC.
On the Media, Sunday morning at 11 on 91.3 KUAF. Also Sunday morning, a couple of hours earlier, Weekend Ozarks at Large. We'll share a few stories from this past week as we travel to a turtle sanctuary in Bella Vista, prep for the upcoming Fort Smith Symphony season, and more. Weekend Ozarks at Large, Sunday morning at 9 on 91.3. It is August 4th, 2017. This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. With me is Becca Martin Brown, features editor at the Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette. It is Friday.
Features editor, what's up editor, free weekly editor. It's Groundhog Day in my world.
It just
every
keeps happening,
week.
Right?
Yep. As it turns out, I was still hungry for Chinese food this week.
Last week, you did that menu where you can pick one from here, here, and here. So we're going to do that again?
We're going to do that again. And this week, column A is music. Not because I've changed my mind, because our music writer, Jocelyn Murphy, says these are the important things this week.
Well, it's
don't mess it up.
Big, big weekend for music.
Well, it is. Okay, this weekend at the Amp is Lady Antebellum.
And they're very popular.
Straight No Chaser.
And they're very good.
Postmodern Jukebox.
Ditto.
Matchbox 20. And Counting Crows. All between Saturday and Monday.
I tip my hat to the crew at the Amp.
Good luck with
front
that.
Front of stage, back of stage. Wow.
Yeah, exactly. Lady Antebellum just has a new album. Mm-hmm. Need You Now. Nope. I take that back. That was their previous album. Okay. See, I don't do this. This is why Jocelyn should do this. They have a new album called Heartbreak that was out June 9th, mm-hmm. and they're back on tour. But now they're talking about, and this made me laugh because it made me think of Trout Fishing in America. Now their songs are things about kids and family life. And
because
it's like
they're families now.
Yeah. Been there, seen that. That show is at 7:30 Saturday at the Amp. Tickets start at $37.
All right.
Then on Sunday night, I don't know anything about Postmodern Jukebox except that a bunch of my friends think they're amazing.
And you can see a lot of their stuff online. Go to YouTube, go to social media, and just put that in.
In fact, they put out a new video on YouTube every week.
Yeah.
Like on
a lot.
Thursdays. And their concept is that they take music you would know and then restyle it in vintage ways.
It could be bebop. It could be torch. You know, it's
yeah.
just, yeah.
Well, the examples that Jocelyn used were Miley Cyrus's We Can't Stop as 50s doo-wop.
Yeah.
Or Lady Gaga's Bad Romance in 1920s Gatsby style. It should be a lot of fun. And then Straight No Chasers, all a cappella. Mm-hmm. This happens at 7:30 Sunday at the Amp. Tickets start at $39.95. And then if you're still alive, mm-hmm. Monday night, Matchbox 20 and Counting Crows are on stage in a musically entwined. Like they were talking about how Matchbox 20 was listening to Counting Crows music that influenced them. So a musically entwined show.
Okay.
That starts at 6:45 on Monday, and tickets start at $89.50. So if you do all of that, please call me when it's over.
You've decided what you're doing for the weekend.
Actually, call me when you get your voice back.
Yeah.
Columbia's Theater. The Wedding Singer.
Last weekend in Rogers.
At Arkansas Public Theater. Actually, one more weekend.
Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize.
August 10th through 13th is their last weekend. This is, in fact, based on the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a ton of fun. 8 o'clock today and Saturday, 2 o'clock Sunday again next weekend. Tickets start at $23. The Secret Garden is on stage at Fort Smith Little Theater. They, too, have one more weekend to go. I'm trying to jump a weekend, and I don't know why. This is the musical version of the beloved children's classic book, 7:30 today and Saturday, 2 o'clock on Sunday. There is no Sunday matinee for that show next weekend.
Okay.
So if you need a Sunday matinee, this would be your week.
Gotcha.
Tickets are $15. And Arkansas Staged, I love this concept, is doing a new show called Collected Stories. It was not brand new. It was a finalist for the Dramatists Guild Award for Best Play in 1997. And it's Morgan Hicks directing, who is every kind of amazing.
Mm-hmm.
She's been doing these huge shows, The Ding Dong and...
with Theater Squared.
And The Greek Show. I just lost the name of it. For UA Theater. And this is a nice little show.
Yeah.
With two actors. Nice, simple, and one that you won't care that there's no staging.
Right.
That and this is Reader's Theater.
It's at 21C.
Happens at 7 o'clock on Sunday. This is the bargain of your weekend. $5 suggested donation.
Yeah, right.
And then column C, which is something completely different. He's stopping me.
Well, here's the thing about a suggested donation. They say 5. If you want to drop a 10, they'll take it.
Or 20.
Just saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead. Sorry.
All right. Column C is something completely different.
All right.
If you're looking for me this weekend, this may be where I am. It's happening at the Holiday Inn and the Northwest Arkansas Convention Center in Springdale, mm-hmm. and it's called GlitchCon. It is a fandom con. The theme this year is Across the Stars. But that doesn't mean that you're just going to see Star Wars and Star Trek. You're going to see Doctor Who fans and anime fans and tabletop gaming fans and the latest pop culture thing, which is Wastelanders.
I don't know.
This is the thing that I am currently interested in.
What is Wastelanding?
Wastelanders are post-apocalyptic dystopian fandom.
Here's my question about post-apocalyptic stuff. Be it Cormac McCarthy, you know, The Road, or be it a game, really in 2017, I want escapism.
You and My Little Pony.
Basically, yes. Yes.
Okay, here's the fun part. My SCA friends, some of them are getting into the Wastelander stuff.
Mm-hmm.
To me, the fun part is the costuming. Because you're doing Mad Max, Blood of Heroes, costuming.
All right. Okay. Yeah. All right.
And it's just fun.
Well, that's fine. That's
so fine. You can find out about it. Plus, there's also a group called Airship Isabella. And they are artists and performers who do steampunk and are supposed to be the best steampunk costumers in the country.
Now, this is a... You pay your fee, you go in, and you can listen and watch and do whatever.
There are panels. There's a storyline that happens all 3 days that pits the unknown, untold Horizons Federation and the Fallen Empire against each other. So you can join one team or the other, and there are quests, and there are games to play on your phone, and taking
sounds
over
like a
rooms.
Lot of work.
And, yeah. It was really funny because, again, Jocelyn, who is... significantly younger than I am,
mm-hmm.
read this story and went, there's not a word of English in there. And I'm like, of course there is.
How much does it cost to get in?
It costs $45 for the whole weekend.
And it's 3 days?
And it's 3 days.
All right.
It costs $30 if you do today only, $35 for Saturday only, or $20 for Sunday only.
Okay.
And there are also two panelists, Maylee Flanagan, who has voiced the lead in the hit cartoon Naruto, for more than 600 episodes, 40 video games, and 5 movies.
Wow.
And Don Teams, who has played more than 25 what they call featured walkers on The Walking Dead.
He's been a zombie?
Yeah.
Oh.
One of the zombies that you have seen and taken note of. Featured walker, you know?
Okay.
So this could be really cool. And if you want something completely different, this is it.
Here's what I want to know about that. How long... does he have to sit in the makeup chair to become a zombie? Because that stuff looks like it would take a long time.
You know, I bet it doesn't take as long as it used to.
Speaking of which, I don't watch that show anymore because it's post-apocalyptic and I'm just not there right now.
And he's back with My Little Pony. Yeah. In the meantime, I have the hat to start my Wasteland costume. We're working from the top down.
There you go. All right. Becca Martin Brown, features editor at the Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette.
That's pianist Kirk Lightsey performing his composition, Donkey Dust. Hello, I'm Robert Ginsberg, your host for Shades of Jazz every Friday and Saturday here on KUAF. We'll hear more from Kirk Lightsey. We'll also hear music from Bill Frisell, Ellis Marsalis, Kitty Margolis, and the new one from John Beasley, Monkestra Volume 2. That's Shades of Jazz right here on KUAF.
It's the Community Spotlight on KUAF. I'm Pete Hartman. We're in the Nancy Blair Operations Studio today with Dick Bennett, the founder of the Omni Center for Peace, Justice, and Ecology. Dick, thanks for coming up.
I'm very pleased to be here, Pete.
You've actually been retired for some time now. 85 years old, but you're still doing this.
I am. I retired 20 years ago, but my deep concern about nuclear weapons has kept me highly motivated to continue my work about the Hiroshima-Nagasaki bombings of 1945.
And that's what we're talking about today. Coming up this Sunday, August 6th, will be y'all's annual, and I'm not even sure how many years y'all have hosted this event, but it's the annual remembrance of the bombings of Hiroshima and Nagasaki.
Back in the 1960s and 1970s, we had an organization in Fayetteville called Peace Organizing Committee. It faded away, but one of our activities, and I can remember a meeting in which we said to each other, well, we might not remain active as an organization, but we can keep some of our activities alive. And this was one of the things that everybody unanimously wanted to sustain. And somehow we have, I think, maybe missing of 2 or 3 years now and then, but we have remembered these bombings since the 60s or 70s. Right. That's how vague I am about when we started. Combination of music, of poetry, of speakers, of prayer, of a variety of activities that occur from individual citizens. Beginning last year, very emphatically, we became not only a remembrance of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, but an emphasis upon abolishing nuclear weapons.
Dick, thanks for coming up, and I guess we'll see you Sunday.
Thank you, Pete. It's good to see you again.
And as always, if you know of someone doing good in your community, let us know. That's what the Community Spotlight is all about. You can write me an email. That's phartma@uark.edu. The Community Spotlight on KUAF, where local matters.
In just a few weeks, the 2017 Fayetteville Roots Festival will begin. There will be music all over the place, beginning Wednesday night, the 23rd, and then escalating through the week. Yes, we'll be live at the Fayetteville Public Library on that Friday with a broadcast featuring a half dozen of the main stage performers. That's another live Roots Festival broadcast from noon to 2 on 91.3 and from the Fayetteville Public Library. The show is free in person and on the radio, but please understand the seating in the Walker Community Room is limited. We'll have details about the show and the performers very soon. That live broadcast, 3 weeks from today. Also the weekend of Roots, we'll have free music at the library Saturday morning, the 26th. For the third consecutive year, Brian Hembry and I will be hosting an intimate songwriter conversation with visiting musicians who will talk about and then play some of their favorite songs. That Saturday morning, it's absolutely free. Last year, some of the free Saturday musical performances at the library included Still on the Hill, the duo of Donna and Kelly Mulholland, and the duo of Roy and Aviva, all playing traditional Ozark tunes. Here is, for the first time on the air, part of that concert from last year's Fayetteville Roots Festival.
We're going to start with a song called Arkansas Boys, and this is a song that dates back, there's versions of it back to 1841, and it's a kind of comedic warning song. This version is warning Missouri girls from the hillbilly Arkansas boys, and there's lots of different versions, including warning Virginia gals from West Virginia boys, and Mississippi girls from Texas boys, and Utah girls from Mormon boys. So here's the Arkansas.
Particularly
version.
Be warning that situation. So we're gonna start it off like this.
You know, we're gonna play one of our older Ozark story songs. When we first got one, we made an album called Ozark, and we were researching stories. And actually, it was a librarian here that no longer works here that told us a story about Snowball, Arkansas. And so we went to Snowball, which is virtually non-existent now. And we knocked on a door, and this lady came out, and she told us a story that that we turned into a song about a slave who, after the Civil War, all the slaves were freed, but this was a little boy, and he was lost. He'd lost his parents. He'd been disconnected from his parents.
He was deaf,
and he was
couldn't
deaf.
Speak.
And so a soldier found him and raised him as his own in this little community, and he became a stonemason. But the irony is that when he passed away, they didn't give him a gravestone, of all things.
But then after doing this song for years, the community of Snowball pitched in together and bought a stone for Willie in the graveyard. So this is called Willie's Walls.
He did not understand what happened to the land? Well, he walked the quiet hills, so afraid and all alone, searching for his family, looking for his home. In his sleep and daytime shadows, at night he traveled far, searching as his father shone to follow the northern star. Half starved and exhausted, he fell down by the road, found there by a soldier in a tattered rebel coat. And the soldier felt compassion for the tiny boy he found, so he throwed him over his shoulder and he carried him to town. Of his hands, taught him how to build with stone. And Willie learned the secrets of each and every rock, and he knew just where to place the stones, as if he heard them talk. Willie grew to be an old man, never left that Ozark town, but the years would take their toll, and his hands would let him down. In the end, he is remembered by the children of that day as the old man who would dance for them for pennies thrown away. Wander through the graveyard there. You'll not find Willie's name.
So this next song we're going to do is another one from the Mary Parler collection, and this one's kind of a rabble-rousing old number sung by a guy named Garland K. Claiborne from Carroll County, Arkansas, and this one is called Riding Old Paint and Leading Old Bald, and we might medley it into a breakdown fiddle tune called Pike's Peak that was also played here in the Ozarks.
Awesome.
There we go, Riding Old Paint, Leading Old Bald. And that refers to horses. You know, Old Paint would be Old Paint Horse, and Old Bald would be an old bald horse with a white spot on its head. Not an old bald person. This coming fall, going on the mountain to live till I am old. I want to get married, I swear I will make my home on the Santa Fe Trail, riding old paint, leading old bald. I'm getting tired of a single life. I'll settle down and find a wife way out where the sun sinks in the west. Start my herd on the Rio Grande, way out west from man to man, riding on pain, leading on ball. Is through, we'll go strolling just we two down the trail. The sun sinks in the west. Every night when it gets dark, we'll play a tune on the old guitar, riding on pain, leading on ball.
And then Roy and Aviva are going to do it, and then we're going to do one together to finish up.
Well, we have another PowerPoint.
Yeah.
This one goes way back. For years, we've been playing.
No,
wrong one. Oh, see, this is what you call IT failure. We're looking for somebody who. this is Mr. Bose. You know, we've been playing a song about Mr. Bose for 20 years now. And it's one of our favorites, kind of the backbone of what we do. But Donna has written another song.
A sequel
about this gentleman. He's been long dead. I think he's been dead for 40 years, 30, 35 years.
Yeah, I met him about 40 years ago. And he just, his story kind of got me loving to write songs about the Ozarks. He lived in a little shack back in the hills. And there were cracks in the walls with newspaper crammed into the cracks. And fiddles all around the walls with mockingbirds carved on them. And for 30 years, I just dreamed of going and buying one of those fiddles. So just before he died, I went and found him. There were only two fiddles left, so I didn't have the heart to ask him for one. But instead, I wrote my very first song called Ode to Mr. Bose about him. And we were playing that for years, and then something really amazing happened.
We were playing down close to Russellville, where he used to live. And a gentleman came up after the concert and was thanking us for having celebrated Mr. Bose. He said, you know, I used to be his best friend, and I still have his last fiddle. He gave it to us. That's really...
Now, he gets to be Vanna White.
Oh, my gosh.
Because on the back, I have a close-up here. He made this in 1976 for America's Bicentennial using nothing but a pocket knife and a wee small axe. He carved this whole fiddle by the light of his little window. This is a close-up of the Liberty Bell on the back.
And everything.
So when his best friend gave this to us, what he said touched me so much. He said he didn't play the fiddle. It was under his bed. And he said if an instrument is not played, it goes cold. And he said the fiddle's gone cold, and he wanted me to warm it up again. So this is the sequel. It's called The Golden Fiddle.
Thank you.
There wasn't much light in his tar paper shack, next to a window with a taped up crack. He used a sharp pocket knife and a wee small axe to carve the Liberty Bell onto the back of his golden fiddle. Written inside H. Depot's 1976, so the label it shows. A fine double line all around the edge, four lovely flowers carefully etched on this golden fiddle. Well, I once was told that a fiddle goes cold without a warm touch and a rosin to bow. Left unattended with stories untold. A fiddle goes cold. A fiddle goes cold. And Bose passed away. His best friend, he called me on the phone just to say. He said, I had the last fiddle Denton Bose ever made. The fiddle is lonely and it needs to be played. Got his golden fiddle. He said, the fiddle's gone cold, so rosin up the bow. The strings have all grown rusted and old. Left in the dark, left all alone. So I tucked the fiddle up under my chin, dragged the bow across the strings to wake it again. I'll play the Tennessee waltz, maybe spark a romance. Clap's gonna clap and folks gonna dance to this golden fiddle, to this golden fiddle.
It'd be fun to finish up with a tune all together here and just see what happens. And
we'll do a full band number.
We'll hope.
This is a sentimental old dude called My Ozark Mountain Home.
Thank you all for coming and staying to see us.
Since far away, and a little mound of clay that recalls to me the days of long ago. When I sit on Mama's knee and she talk and sing to me, how I love her voice and accent sweet and low. Oh, her love will always linger. I can see her day by day as she sits there in her little cabin home. Though the house is blown away and the fields are grass are gray, I can never forget our Ozark Mountain home. Oh, I bow my head in sorrow, for I know I'll meet tomorrow by that little mound of clay there in the hills. I'm going back to build a shack by that little mound of clay. I'm going back to build a shack in the Ozark Hills far away. As she can be, and her aching heart was always full of pain.
shadow of the clay. She'll guide me day by day, and I'll never roam the east and west again. In words that live forever, she advised me not to never take advantage or the weak ones of our day. Though we very often name, we'll all just be the same when we meet there in the shadow of the clay. I bow my head in sorrow, for I know me tomorrow by that little mound of clay there in the field. I'm going back
to build a shack
by that little mound of clay. I'm going back and build a shack in those Ark Hills far away.
That's Still on the Hill, and Roy and Aviva performing at the Fayetteville Public Library during last year's Roots Festival. This year's festival begins in about 2.5 weeks, and 3 weeks from today, we'll host our annual free live Roots edition of Ozarks at Large at the Fayetteville Public Library. And 3 weeks from tomorrow, Brian Hembree and I will be hosting singer-songwriter sessions with visiting musicians, also free, also at the library. It won't be live on the radio, but we'll record it for later use. For a full schedule of all the events, including more free events than any previous Roots Festival, just go to the Fayetteville Roots Festival Facebook page or fayettevilleroots.com.
This week on the KUAF Vinyl Hour, we're celebrating KUAF's own Timothy Dennis. A producer for Ozarks at Large, Tim is marking his 5th anniversary at the station by playing records of bands and artists that he has recorded live for Ozarks at Large. Whether in the Furman Garner Performance Studio or at the Roots Festival, these are local, state, and national touring bands who have all had their time on KUAF's airwaves, thanks to Tim. With Kevin Kirby, The Twos, Pokey LaFarge, John Moreland, Willie Carlisle, Real Live Tigers, and more. Celebrating Tim's 5-year anniversary by listening to music he's brought to KUAF on this week's KUAF Vinyl Hour, Sunday night at 5 p.m. on KUAF 3.
Frozen calculations. You shall never find the treasure. The treasure that's...
And you can join Feed Communities for a live edition of the KUAF Vinyl Hour during the Vinyl, Vittles, and Vino benefit that takes place August 10th in Fayetteville. Mingle with friends as you enjoy music from Vinyl Hour host Lee Wood, plus food and wine. All proceeds will go to support Feed Communities' mission in addressing hunger and food insecurity for families living in Northwest Arkansas. For more information, including location and registration, you can search Facebook for Vinyl Vittles Vino.
The Northwest Arkansas Jazz Society and KUAF Summer Jazz Concert Series continues with Six Strings, Six Stories, tracing the lineage of the jazz guitar with the Alex Wentz Trio, Saturday, August 19th at 8 p.m. at the Haxton Road Studio in Bentonville. KUAF.com or digjazz.com for information or tickets.
A service of the J. William Fulbright College of Arts and Sciences at the University of Arkansas. This is 91.3 KUAF, Fayetteville, Fort Smith, Bentonville, and Ozarks. Ozarks at Large, a production of KUAF. I'm Kyle Kellums. Thanks for spending part of your Friday with us. I'll be back Sunday morning at 9 with Weekend Ozarks at Large. Have a great and safe weekend.